Today's daf is daf Yud Gimel. So we got two lines down from the top. The Gemara now says, we were talking about the Shitas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, about the Zman of Bir Chametz Erev Pesach. So we said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the din was you have to stop eating the fifth hour, and you burn the sixth hour. And Rabbi Meir said, he had the case of Tolan, right? He says you had, no, the other way around, I'm sorry. Let me get back to that Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, just to make sure we're clear on this, Rabbi Meir said you can eat all chamesh, all fifth hour, and the sixth hour you burn it. Rabbi Yehuda said you have to stop eating after the fourth hour. The fifth hour is tolim, and the sixth hour is when you burn it. So that's Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara now wants to know, how do we paskin? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda, that after the fourth hour, already you have to stop eating, and then the fifth hour is tolim, and then the sixth hour is burning. So the Gemara asks, Amar Le Rav, Le Rav Nachman, V'neim Amar Halacha, Meir. Why don't we paskin like Rabbi Meir that you can eat through the fifth hour? The Stam Lan Tana Kavasa. We have a Stam Mishnah that paskins like Rabbi Meir. That Mishnah says the Tanan Kol Shah Shemutel Leechol Machel. Anytime you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to feed your animal as well. So that sounds like the position of Rabbi Meir. If you look at Rashi to explain, Rashi says here in the top line, V'neim Amar Halacha Rabbi Meir, the Ochen Kol Chamesh allows you to eat through the fifth hour. The Ha Stam Lan Tana Kavasa. The Mishnah gives a presentation like Rabbi Meir. Whenever you could eat the Adam, you could feed your animals, your behemoth, your chaya, your birds. The mashma, when you cannot eat it, you cannot feed your animals. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the fifth hour, although an Adam can eat it, Rabbi Yehuda actually holds you could feed your animals. So there is a point in time where you don't eat and you could feed others, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Meir says, no, when you could eat, you can feed your animals, and when you can't eat, you can feed the animals. So this Mishnah, which says again, Kol Shah Shemotu Lechel Machil, that is like Rabbi Meir. So why are we passing like Rabbi Yehuda over the Stam Mishnah of Rabbi Meir?
How does this prove the fourth or fifth?
Because he holds that Rabbi Yehuda holds, even though you cannot eat during the fifth hour, you could feed animals during the fifth hour. This Mishnah implies otherwise. So Gemara says, no, Hahu Lav Stamahu. That Mishnah is not a Stam case of Rabbi Meir. Mishum Dekasha Mutter. The word Mutter throws us off in that case. In that case where the Mishnah says, when you could eat mutter lechel, you could be machil, the word mutter doesn't have to be there. It could have said, ochel machil. If I could eat, I could machil, I could feed. What do you mean when I'm mutter to lechel? Of course, if I'm eating, it's mutter for me to eat. The word mutter is superfluous. So what the Gemara asks, and Rashi says, I'll say that outside, then we'll read this inside Rashi, it's referring to that when someone else is mutter to eat food, even though I can't, but someone can, we're going to say it's the Kohen, when the Kohen can eat truma, even though I, the Yisrael, can't eat, as long as the Kohen can eat truma, I get feed my animal. But nothing to do with my ability to eat. So if you just look at Rashi, Rashi says, Mishum dekashe mutter, biper kol shah, makshinan kol shah she'ochel, machil mibarle. It should say in the Mishnah, whenever you could eat, you could feed. What's the word mutter doing? Umutter, mashma, kol shah shemutter adam achel lechel. Whenever someone else is mutter to eat, which is the Kohen, as we'll see, then I can be machel zeh ha'osel lechel, I could feed my animals even though I can't eat. Because there's a point in time, remember according to Rabbi Gamliel, we'll see now, we're going to throw Rabbi Gamliel into the picture now, he said there's a difference between truma and chulin. That even though chulin, you have to stop eating at a certain hour, you have an extra hour to still eat truma 1 hour later. So that extra hour, although I can't eat, a Kohen can eat, a Kohen's mutter to eat, I can still feed the animal. So this is not the position of Rabbi Meir. Only Rabbi Gamliel is the one who makes a chilek between a Chuma and Chulin, Kohen and a non-Kohen. So the Gemara says again, Mishum de Kashe Mutter, and therefore, it's not a Stam case of Rabbi Meir. So it must be Rabbi Gamliel, this Mishnah. So then the Gemara says, well, if that's Rabbi Gamliel, who makes a chilek between Chuma and Chulin, V'neim Amar Halacha, Rabbi Gamliel, the Havalei Machria. We should pass like Rabbi Gamliel, he's Machria. What does Machria mean? Machir means he makes a pshara, he makes a compromise, because we had Rabbi Yehuda who says you cannot eat already the fifth hour, you have to stop eating. Rabbi Meir says you can eat in the fifth hour, so they have a machlokas. Rabbi Gamliel says there's no machlokas, they agree actually. One deferring to a Kohen eating truma, one deferring to a chulin, non-Kohen eating chulin, meaning a czar cannot eat during the fifth hour, but a Kohen can eat during the fifth hour, so he's machriya, he makes a compromise between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, and whenever there's a third position who's machriya b'neim, he compromises, we always embrace that compromised opinion. And the Gemara says, no. Amar le Rabbi Gamliel lav machriyahu tam de nafshe kamar. Even though it sounds like Rabbi Gamliel is compromising between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, he's not really compromising. His goal is not the compromise. His goal is simply having he's a different shita. He's a completely different shita, a different angle about the lachas of Chuma and Chulin. Happens to be he falls in between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, but he wasn't trying to be machriya. The only time we invoke the concept of the halachas kimachria when the person is actually being machria, he's actually trying to compromise between two opinions. Here he's not trying to, he just happens to fall out in between, but since his intention is not to be machria, we don't paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, and therefore there's no stam mishnah like Rabbi Meir either, it's like Rabbi Gamliel, and that's why we follow like the position of Rabbi Yehuda, like Rav Nachman holds in the name of Rav. The Gemara says another reason why, Ibai Seima Rav Damar Kaitana. When Rav says we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that the fifth hour you have to stop eating already, it's based on the following statement. What does the Braisa tell us? The Tanya. Our basar shechal yos b'Shabbos. If the 14th Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, so you can't burn the chametz on Shabbos, you have to burn it Erev Shabbos, on Friday, which is the 13th. The Gemara says, our basar shechal yos b'Shabbos, mivarin es hakol milfnei Shabbos, you need to burn everything prior to Shabbos. The sorfin shumos, Timaeus, Tlios, Vitaros, you burn all the chuma, whether the chuma is tame, whether the chuma is tale, meaning a suffix, whether the chuma is even tahor, even though normally you can't burn chuma tahor unless there's no other person to eat it and Pesach is coming, you burn all that before Shabbos, even though it's a day earlier. Umishayarin minataros, Mazon Shay Sudos, you leave behind 2 meals worth to eat on Shabbos, Kadei Lechel ad Dalad Shaos, until you eat the 4th hour, because after the 4th hour, you can't eat anymore. Keep in mind, that's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, the 4th hour. So that's Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda Ish Bardusa Shamar Mishim Rabbi Shua, that you can only eat until the 4th hour on Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach. Now, as a side point, Rashi points out, look at Rashi around more than halfway down the narrow line, Shay Sudos, you save 2 meals. Below Shalosh, don't we have 3 meals on Shabbos? Why are you only saving 2 meals? So Rashi says, the Chol Shalosh Sudos, the Shabbos, Arvis, Shachris, Umincha. That's the times we have them. The Erev Pesach, Aser, Lechol, Minah, Mincha, Lamala. You can't eat after Mincha time. So you can't eat a Shal Shudos on the day of Erev Pesach. So the Tosar Ben Peretz proves from here. So why don't you have 2 meals before Chatzos? Have an early breakfast, split your meal up into two. It proves from here that you cannot actually be Yotze Shal Shudos prior to Chatzos. It actually won't work. Now others argue on this, but this becomes an interesting point of discussion about having how to have Shal Shudos on Erev Pesach. And there are a few different suggestions. Some say you could have some fruit or something else Erev Pesach after Chatzos, even though normally we want to have a full loaf of bread. Here you can't accomplish that, but it's clear from Rashi and Rabbeinu Peretz that since he doesn't suggest having 3 meals before Chatzos, you cannot accomplish the mitzvah of Shal Shudos before Chatzos. Vayter now, the Gemara says. So that's all the first position of the Braisa. Again, you have to have the meals before the 4th hour of the day. You can't eat chametz after the 4th hour. The Gemara now continues and responds back to that position. Amrulo, Shema Chutz L'chol Malanu. So why are we burning, I skipped a line here. Amrulo, Tahoros Lo Yisufu. Shema Yimatzei Lehen Ochlen. Why are you burning Chuma Tahora on Erev Shabbos, which is the 13th? You still have a full 24 hours to find someone to eat the Chumos Tahoros. Why are you burning them? It's an Isser to burn Chumos Tahoros. Amr Lehen, he says back, Kfar Bikshu V'lamasu. We already asked all my friends and neighbors. We couldn't find anybody. So why delay? Because we can't burn on Shabbos itself. So there's no one else available to eat Tahoros. So Amr Lo, Shema Chutz L'chom Olanu. Maybe he's sleeping outside of your city. He'll come later on in the day. Amr Lehem, so according to your Svara, that maybe you should wait to the last second to burn it, the Divrechem, well, you can't burn it, but maybe throw it out on Shabbos, but you shouldn't burn it before Shabbos, because you're going to maybe find someone will come. Amr Lehem, the Divrechem, according to your logic, Av Tluyos Lo Yisufu. Well, maybe you shouldn't burn the Chuma Tumeos, or rather Tluyos, which is a Safik Tame, Safik Tar. Why not? You can't eat it, Lamaisa, you can't eat it, because it's a Safik Tuma. How are you going to figure out whether there's a Tuma or not a Tuma? Because Shema Yavo Eliyahu Vitara. Maybe you should wait, maybe Eliyahu is going to show up and say, you know what? Those are actually not tummy, they're actually tower. So don't burn them, because you're concerned that Eliyahu might show up. Just like you're concerned some guy from outside the city might show up to eat the taros, maybe Eliyahu will show up by your front door and say they're actually tower, and somebody could eat them. Amr Lehem, he says, Amr Lo, no. We already have a Gemara in Ervin, which taught us, for Muftach Lehem Liyisov, we already have a guarantee, Shein Eliyahu ba lo be'arvei, Shabbosav lo be'arvei yamim tovim, be'pnei ha-tareach. Eliyahu will not show up by your door, or anywhere, he will not announce the coming of Mashiach on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov. Why? Because you're being Tarech in the Suda, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to interrupt the preparations, so he won't come. So since this is Erev Shabbos, we know 100% Eliyahu is not coming. The Tlios are going to remain Tlios, and that's why we could be comfortable burning them. But Lagabri, the Tahoros, you should still wait it out, because maybe someone's going to show up. So the Gemara says, Amru Lo, Amru, they said, Lo Zazu Misham, they did not move from this whole back and forth, Ad Shek Misham, Ad Shek Kavu Halacha, Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda ish Bartusa, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, they paskind like the first opinion, who we had said, you can only eat up until the 4th hour of Erev Pesach. So my love, afilu le'echol, is it's not true the halacha that in terms of what he said that you can eat it, that you can only eat up until the fourth hour. So we see you clearly paskin like the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Just look at Rashi, the two wide lines down. Rashi says, my love, afilu le'echol, b'chol dvarav kavu kamosa. This whole back and forth, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar regarding when you could eat the fourth hour, and also the gabe burning the taros and the tlios. So it does not mean that all the words of Rabbi Elazar we paskin like him. That which he said you could only eat up until the fourth hour, even truma can be eaten only up until the fourth hour. Not like Rabbi Gamliel, not like Rabbi Meir, it's only like Rabbi Yehuda, everything must stop after the fourth hour. And the Gemara says, no, not the gabe, the din of eating, Amir Papa, Mishmei Dirava, lo levar, regarding the halachas of burning, the back and forth about burning Chumo Tahoros and Chumo Tulios before Shabbos or not, we possibly, you do burn everything before Shabbos, but Lagabi the Zman Achila, that wasn't whether Kovei Halacha, it's still an open question whether we possibly like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Meir. So that's not a raya. So then the Gemara says, further, the Af, Rabbi Savarla, the Rav Nachman, Damar Rabin Bar Rav Ada, Ma'isa Ba'adam Echad. So he paskened like Rav Nachman in the name of Rav, that we paskened like Rabbi Yehuda. What happened? Ma'isa Ba'adam Echad Shehifkid Diska Melea Chametz Eitel Yochanan Chakuka. That he had given over a basket of Chametz for Yochanan Chakuka to watch over. V'nakvu Achbarim, and some mice came along and punctured through the basket. V'haya Chametz Mivatzbeit V'yotze, and this Chametz that was kind of coming out of the holes of the basket. Ubalafnei Rebbe, they came in front of Rebbe wanting to know what to do, because this was Erev Pesach, and there's chametz all over the place. So he said, Shari Shona, they came to him the first hour of the day, Erev Pesach, Amr Lo, Himtin, wait a little bit, don't do it, don't sell it. Shania, the second hour, he said, Rebbe, the chametz is still coming out, what should we do? Amr Lo, Himtin, wait, why is he waiting, by the way? Rashi said, we're waiting, maybe you're going to find some guy to feed the food to. Because the owner, Rabbi Yochanan, rather, maybe the owner, rather, will come and eat it. You can't touch it, because you're the shomer. But maybe before selling the chametz, maybe the owner will show up and you could feed it to him. So the third hour comes. Shlishis Amarlo, Himtin, wait a little bit. Revius Amarlo, Himtin, still wait. Chamishis, finally the fifth hour comes and the baal doesn't show up. And the chametz is all over the place in the house of Yochanan Chakuka. Amarlo, tzei umocha b'shuk, go out and sell it. This is already at the fifth hour. My love, l'nachim, k'rabbi Yehuda, is not referring to sell it to a nachim. You can't sell it to a yid, because a yid at that time during the fifth hour, yid can't eat it. According to Rabbi Yehuda. During for a mayor, a yid can still eat at the fifth hour. So when he sells to the shuk somewhere, he must be referring to selling it to a nachri, to a non-Jew, because only a non-Jew can eat it at the fifth hour. That's like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara says, no, Amar of Yosef lo, li Yisrael, Krabi Meir. He was recommending you sell to a yid during the fifth hour of the day, because a yid could still eat it and during the fifth hour, according to Rabbi Meir. So Amar lo, if that's the case, Amar le Bai says if a yid could still eat it during the fifth hour, in accordance with Rabbi Meir, Eli Yisrael Nishkele Lenafshe. Why doesn't he himself eat it? Let Yochanan Chakuka sell it to himself. Let him, you know, buy the chametz that he's watching, and then he'll pay back the baal afterwards, and he's eat it. To go out to schlep in the shuk to find some yid to sell chametz last hour, that's a hard thing. Let him just take it for himself and pay back the owner. So the Gemara said, Mishim Chashta, Rechoshet here, that if the guy sells to himself, he's going to give himself a good deal. This chametz is only worth a couple bucks. You sell to the outside and you're impartial, you give a real value. But for yourself, to sell someone's own property to yourself, we can't trust you, you're going to have a real good market value. So we say, don't sell anything to yourself in any situation like this. The Tanya, the Braisa says, a gabbait stakka, she'ein lehem aniyim l'chalik. What should a gabbait stakka? He collects a lot of money, but he can't find any aniyim. Baruch Hashem, there's no aniyim around. So he has to hold on to the money till he finds an aniyim. So ein lehem aniyim l'chalik. Portin lacherim, he should give them to others, very important la'atzman. In other words, instead of him carrying around all the heavy change, let him just put on a $100 bill, and that's much easier to schlep around a $100 bill than 500 quarters. So the problem is, the Gemara says, when you do the exchange of the quarters to the $100 bill, so don't exchange with your own money. Exchange it with someone else. Because if I see a guy into the taking from the pushka, taking money out of his pocket, exchanging money, the guy is stuck, I'm thinking, wait a second, he's probably pocketing some of the money. So make sure if you're going to be portent, if you're going to exchange the money, do it some other guy so no one's choshed you for doing something you shouldn't be doing. So again, the Gemara says, portent la'acherim, vein portent la'atzman. Gabe Tamcho, a guy who collects money for the weekly amounts of food, the weekly distribution for the anim, shein lem anim l'chalik. If he doesn't have any anim to give the food to, mochen la'acherim, he should sell to the food that he collected to other people, vein mochen la'atzman, he shouldn't sell to himself, mishim shenemar v'yisim nekim by Hashem, u'misho. We want to be nucky. We don't want to have anyone suspect if we do anything strange or anything off-colored, so make sure you sell it to somebody else. So here as well, when it comes to the chametz, even though technically you could sell the chametz to yourself Erev Pesach and he could have eaten it, Yochanan Chakon, we don't want people to suspect you of anything you were doing wrong and therefore sell it to somebody else. But either way, when he sold to the shuk, he was selling to a yid, and that's like Rabbi Meir, who still allows you to eat it during the fifth hour. So the Gemara says, no. Amr le Rav Ada bar Masna le Rav Yosef, Beferish Amrislan Tsei Umochan Linachim Kubihuta. When he said sell it, he didn't say just sell it in the shuk and wasn't clarifying who you're selling to. He clearly said the plat from Rebbe was sell it to the Nachrim in the shuk in the fifth hour. That's like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Meir would have allowed you to sell even to Yisrael. So based on this whole dialogue, that's how we know that Rav holds like Rav Nachman, that the psak in fact is like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara now says last few lines of the page here. Amr Rav Yosef Kaman Azla Hashmaisa. The Rebbe. This whole discussion we just had about Rebbe selling the mafkid, who this whole like? How you're allowed to sell a guy gives you a pikadon to watch. I can sell it, I have to watch it, I have to just leave it, I can't sell it. Who allows you to sell a person's pikadon that I'm watching? So the Gemara says that holds like Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, if you remember from the sugyas about Metzia, Ditznan. Where do you find that you're allowed to sell a person's pikadon that you're watching over, that you're a shomer over? Ditznan ha mafkid peros etza chaver. A guy, Ruvain, gives me some fruit to watch over. He's the mafkid, I'm the shomer, so I'm watching over Ruvain's fruit. Now, afilu hein avudin, lo yiga behem. Let's say you see the fruit are going really bad. They're getting sour. I shouldn't touch them. I know the guy would do better off, if I sold them for him and had the money stays well, the fruit won't go, it won't stay forever, but don't touch him. Just, it's his fault. He didn't come and get the fruit. It's his loss. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, what do you mean? The guy's losing the money. It's a Shabbat Aveda. Omer Mochan Bebezin, sell the fruit in Bezin and save the guy's loss. Maybe he got stuck overseas somewhere. Mipnei Shah Shabbat Aveda. You're doing a mitoma by selling the fruit. You're allowed to sell the fruit. So Amar Le Abaye, V'lav Itmar Allah, was it not said on this Mishnah that even though Chachamim say you can't sell the fruit, it's only true, when can you not sell it? Amar Rabba Bar Berchana, Amar Rabbi Yochan, Lo Shanu Ela B'chdei Chesronan. When the fruit is losing, it's regular loss. I mean, everything has a certain time how they expire when they go bad. As long as it's a normal loss, so we don't touch it. Aval Yosef Mechtei Chesron, if they're somehow going bad and spoiling really quickly, much quicker than a typical case, even Chachamim would agree, Mochon and Bebezin, you're allowed to sell in Bezin, Bekoshkin Hacha, and certainly here, the Hop, Tzei de Lagamri, here, the Chametz is going to be lost entirely, because Erev Pesach comes, you're going to have to burn it. So this Braisa holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that allows you to do it, but then the Gemara says, you know what, the truth is, even Chachamim of that Mishnah, who say that you're allowed to sell them if it's a loss, even they would agree, in this case of the chametz, that you would actually be able to sell the chametz on Erev Pesach, something that you are watching. Okay, the Gemara. Yeah, exactly. So now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, we had in the earlier, a couple days ago, that on the top of the Har Bais, there's a little itztava, a little platform. They had two challahs that were there. And the Mishnah said they were puzzle challahs. We'll see why they're puzzle in just a moment. And when you had two challahs out there, that was indicating that you could continue to eat. When they took down one of the challahs, only one was left. That means stop eating, but not necessarily burn. And then on the by the time they took down both challahs, that was an indication that now you have to start burning the chametz. So the Gemara wants to know, what are the nature of these two challahs that were on top of the itztava? So the Gemara says, V'od amar Rabbi Yehuda shtei challahs v'chulu. Tani tani kamed de Rabbi Yehuda. They taught the brayso in front of Rabbi Yehuda, al gav ha-itztava. Al gav ha-itztava versus gag. Gav means in, gag means on the roof of. So al gav ha-itztava, that's how he taught the brayso. So amar lei v'chilat snidin hu l'tzarech. Gav sounds like you're hiding the challah inside. What to Ellis will it be if you're hiding the chalas if nobody could see it? It doesn't mean al gav. So they changed the girsa to mean tana al gag itzva, on the roof of the itzva, whereby everyone was able to see it. Okay, that was just a bit of a tweak of the girsa. So Amar Rachva, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Har Habayis, on top of Har Habayis, there was a stav kafal hayah. There was like a double type of itzva, a double platform. That's where they would place the two chalas on top. Tani Nami Hachi, the Braisa says the same thing, that Har Habayis, stav kafal hayah, there was a double platform on top. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Istavinis Hayasa Nikres, Stav Lifnim Istav. It was one inside the other. I don't exactly know the image, but there's one inside another, a platform on the outside, a platform on the inside. But there's some type of platform on top of Har Bayis where they would place the Sheikhalos on top of. So now the Gemara says, so what exactly were two Psulos Chalos doing on top of the Itztava? How'd you get these two Chalos? My Psulos, why were they possible? So Amar Rabbi Chanina Mitoch Shayu Merubos, Nifsalos Belina. Since there were many challahs, it became possible. What does it mean there were many challahs that are possible? The Tanya ain mevin toda b'chag hamatos b'pnei chametz shabbat. Pshita, of course you can't. So the din is, you're not allowed to bring a carbon todah on Erev Pesach. They call it Chag HaMatzos, by the way, even though it's Erev Pesach. The Rashash proves from here that you see Erev Pesach is called the Chag as well. There's a din actually comes out that we're going to learn on Daf Nun here in the Masech that there's an Isser to do Malacha Erev Pesach. So one Pashup Rashi says the reason is because you're busy doing, you have to do Bir Chametz, you have to bake your matzahs. It's very busy, so you can't do Malacha Erev Pesach. Toso says there, no, because you bring the carbon Pesach. The day you bring a carbon, that becomes a Yom Tov. It's a Yom Tov the day you bring a carbon. So it's called the Chag. The Rashash proves from this Brisa, we see we call Erev Pesach Chag HaMatzos. It's called the Chag, the day you bring a carbon. You have other riots for this, by the way. There is a Gemara that talks about every in Tainus, that every single, there's different days of the year where different families would dedicate firewood to the Beis HaMikdash for the Mizbech. So different families had this time of year, that time of year. One family's day was the 10th of Av. Okay, 10th of Av. What happens if the Tishra fell out on Shabbos? So it's Nidcha, we fast on Sunday, which is the 10th of Av. The Gemara says that particular family would not do a complete fast. Why not? Because it was a Yom Tov for them. Why was it a Yom Tov? Because they dedicated an Eitim to the Beis HaMikdash. Anytime there's a dedication, whether it's an Eitim, whether it's a carbon, it becomes a shtickle of a Yom Tov. So they bring a Raya from here that it's called the Chag. Erev Pesach is called the Chag. So the Gemara says, again, the Tanya, Ein Mevi'in Todah B'Chag HaMatzos Mipnei Chametz Sheba. You can't bring carbon Todah on Pesach itself. Pshita, of course you can't. So the Gemara says it's referring to Erev Pesach. Amar Rav Ada Barava Hacha B'Yudal Askinan. You can't bring a carbon Todah on Erev Pesach, which the Brisa calls Chag, because the Kesavar Ein Mevi'in Kachim LeBeis HaPsul. You're not allowed to bring a carbon whereby it's going to certainly going to lead to a psul. The din was that a carbon Todah, you're allowed to eat the challah. There are 40 challahs. You eat the challahs and you share it with your friends the day and the night of. Now, the problem is, if I bring it Erev Pesach, my carbon todah and all the challahs, I can only eat it the daytime, I can't eat it that night, I can't even eat it the second half of the day, because it's Isser to eat the chametz, and it's Isser to eat the matzah that's there. Of the 40 loaves of bread, 30 loaves are matzah, 10 loaves are chametz. So I can't eat it, it's going to guarantee to burn it. So you cannot bring a carbon where it's going to put you in a position where you're forced to burn some of the carbon. So it's referring to the Brisa says, of course you can't bring a carbon todah on Pesach, that's chametz. But even Erev Pesach, when you're allowed to still have chametz, you still can't bring it because you're mevi'in psulos, the base psul. You're mevi'in kachim, the base psul. You're going to ultimately have to burn the kachim and passel them. So the Gemara says, okay. V'chuli ama, however, on b'shlosha sar ma'isilu. But everybody agrees on the 13th, you're allowed to. Because the 13th, you could eat Pesach, you could eat rather chametz and matzah on the 13th, and you could eat the night of the 14th, that's still fine. So that's allowed. However, mitoch shen merubos nifsals belita. But since apparently so many people would bring all the karbanos todah, you know, sometimes it will be spread out. Now, whatever's convenient for you to go to the Beis HaMikdash. But we know the next 8 days, the Erev Pesach and 7 days of Pesach, I can't go to bring my karban todah. Let's get it all in now before Pesach begins. So it's a big rush before Pesach. The 13th, everybody brings the karban todah. 40 loaves of bread for how many people to eat. There's so much surplus, so those are where the psulos are coming from, and that's what they waited a place on top of the itztava to use those as a reminder. That's a din that comes out from all of this. Now, this is an interesting question. Though the Behuda asks, why is it only a concern of bringing a carbon toad to Erev Pesach because of the chametz? We know we don't say mizmor soda on Erev Pesach because of chametz. But what about the matzah? We also can't eat matzah Erev Pesach. The 30 of the 40 loaves are matzah. There's an isratid matzah Erev Pesach. So why don't we say, because of the matzah, Shabbat also we shouldn't bring it? So the Noda Behuda gives two different answers. One is, he says, the isratid chametz Erev Pesach is an isra deraisa. An isra to eat matzah is only a isra midirabanan. Yes, we take it very seriously. The Yushami calls it. It's ke bal arusaso kodem the shev. I forget exactly the lashon, but it's like being bal arusaso kodem chupaso or kodem the shevirachos. But it's only isra midirabanan to eat matzah. So since it's only isra midirabanan, really you'd be allowed to bring the carbon todah had it only been a concern of the matzah. Secondly, he says this issue of mivin kachim lebeis apsul. It's only true when you limit the time on the back end. You shorten the time, meaning matzah can only, rather chametz, can only be eaten in the first few hours, and then you have to stop it after a few hours. Matzah is the opposite. Matzah I can't eat on Erev Pesach, but I can eat the night of Pesach. The end, I can actually, Leil Pesach, I can eat the matzah, so it's the opposite. So why, by Erev Pesach, I can't eat the matzah, I could have eaten then Leil Pesach, so that won't be a concern. That's actually allowed, in theory, such a case. So that's why it wasn't because of the matzah that you don't eat carbon todah, rather it's because of chametz that you can't eat the carbon todah. Both because it's the issur d'oraisa to eat chametz, and number two is the back end of it is when the you cut off the time limit, and that's what it means, ein mevin kachim, the base upsu.
Say again? If you could eat eat it the day and the night after that, then you can wait for Pesach and eat the Todah together with matzah once it's mutar.
No, but you can't eat the chametz. The chametz is aser. It also has chametz.
But he's asking a question about matzah.
The matzah point, you can. According to matzah, you could. Right. But because since it's chametz, that's the only reason why. Right. But matzah wasn't a concern.
Matzah, correct.
So then the Gemara says halfway down the page here, Mishum Rabbi Yannai Amru Ksheros Hayu. The truth is really deferring to Karbonos Todah that were actually Ksheros. Now, the truth is, I don't know exactly why this case happened. I'll explain. We're going to go through the details. It's a very strange case how you have these extra Karbonos Todah. This would only happen in a strange case. I mean, this situation of the two challahs on top happened every single year, every Erev Pesach. So the first case I understand because everyone had a big rush to bring the Karbanos Todah, there was a surplus. This next case sounds like a very strange situation, so I don't know why this would happen Erev Pesach. If you have an answer, let me know. But we'll explain what this was going on. Really, we're talking about challahs that are ksheros. And then what happened was, I'll say outside and then we'll read this inside, that the Karbanos Todah got lost and you couldn't find the Karbanos Todah, you couldn't find the match. So you had these leftover challahs that were actually ksheros. They never became pasul, but you have nothing to do with them, so you put them on top of the itztva. Those were the ones that we were using. Unless it was very common for them to lose a Karban Todah, I don't know how this would happen every single year, but maybe it happened one time, I don't know. But let's look inside what Rabbi Yana's understanding is of these challahs. He says, again, Nishum Rabbi Yana Amru, Ksheris Hayu, really the challahs that were on top were kasher. Vela Amai Karile Psolos, why were they called psulos? Shelo Nishchat Alein Hazevach, because the Karban was never shechted. So v'nishchot, so shechted. So what do you do? To shech them and then make them and use them. So Gemara says, Shavat hazevach, you lost the carbon toda, you lost the actual animal. So v'naisi zevach acher, so bring another, bring a replacement animal, and shech the chalas along with that new carbon. So Gemara says, da'amar zu toda v'zu lachma. When you specified, I want this to be my lechem, I want this to be my carbon toda, and the two of them go together. You can't have any replacements when you specify this one and that one. The Amarab, Kidirabba, the Amarabba, Avod Alechem, maybe Lechem Acher. If you lose the bread, so then you should bring a replacement bread, that's allowed. But of the toda, if you lose the toda, Ein Mevi'in Toda Acher. You cannot bring a replacement toda for the challah. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reasoning? Lechem Gala Toda, Vein Toda Gala Lechem. That the lechem is attached to the toda, but the toda isn't attached to the lechem. So we see from this that, again, if I have a toda going with the lechem, if I lose a toda, this lechem is stuck to that toda, wherever that is. I can't bring a replacement. If I have a toda and I lose the lechem, I can bring a replacement lechem. But in this case, since I lost my carbon toda, I cannot bring a new carbon toda for this lechem. I can bring a new carbon toda and new lechem, but that lechem that had the carbon toda attached to it, if I lose the carbon toda, the bread is stuck. So that's the bread referring to that lost its partner, carbon toda. That lechem is ksheros, but at the same time, the psulot, because they're really stuck, you can't do anything with them. Those are the two challahs that we're placing on top of the itztva. So Gemara says, what's the big deal? V'nifrkinu, v'nifkinu l'chulin. Why don't I just redeem the bread? There's a din when it comes to kachim, that there's kedusha guf and kedusha damim. Kedusha guf is when you have something that has an intrinsic kedusha, like a carbon. A carbon has an intrinsic kedusha, and you can't poda that animal unless it has a balmum, let's say. But the lechem is at best only kedusha damim. It doesn't go on the mizbeach. Only that which goes on the mizbeach, like carbon, can become kedusha guf. That which does not go on the mizbeach, like the bread, you eat it, so that's not going to be kedushas guf, that's only kedushas damim. So I can redeem kedushas damim, I can just transfer the kedusha, the lechem remains, becomes a mutter, and I can reuse the bread for something else. So Gemara says, you're right, el liolam shenishchad alayim, really? You shechted the carbon toda. Now once you shech the carbon toda, and now the lechem becomes stuck, now you can no longer redeem the lechem. Now the lechem goes from kedushas damim, it transfers to kedushas guf, from the fact that a shechita was done to the carbon toda. So now the Gemara says, v'nishpach adam, and now the blood spilled. So lemaisa, you can't do the zrika. You can't eat the carbon toda, the lechem rather, until you've done the zrika of the dam on the mizbech. But here you did the shechita, you caught the blood, and then you spilled the cup of blood, you're stuck. You can't sprinkle the blood, so the lechem is stuck forever. It's kedusha's guf at this point, which means you can't redeem it, and that's why they're called psulos. Ukaman, who holds this way? That the shechita alone, when you shech the carbon toda, that alone will give the kedushas guf to the lechem. It's kirebi, dama rebi hold, shnei devar hamatirin, two, if they're two matirin, malin zeh below zeh. So let me explain what's going on. To allow a person to eat from the carbon toda, you need something called a matir. So sometimes you have two matirin. The two matirin in this case is shechting the carbon toda and sprinkling in zrika and sprinkling the blood, those two elements. Let's say one without the other, you cannot eat the bread, but still one without the other has the ability to make the lechem kadosh. So shechita will make the lechem kadosh, even though I can't eat it until there's also a zrika. So he's the one who holds again, shnei dvarim matirim, two things that are necessary to matu the bread, malin zeh below zeh, could be mala kedusha, one without the other. So the kedusha was there when you shechted it, even though lamaisa you can't eat it, because you need the other one to matu the eating. The Tanya, the Raisa says, kivse atzeres, when it comes to that tzeres on Shavuos, there's also the shtei alechem, there's two loaves of bread for the carbon that's brought on atzeres, as opposed to the 40 loaves of bread for a regular carbon toda. So kivse atzeres, ein mekachinis alechem, the lechem only becomes kadosh, el b'shchita, with the shchita. What does that mean? Ketzad, shachtan l'shma, v'zarka daman l'shma. Those are the two matirin by the kivse atzeres. You need to do a shchita l'shma, and you need to do the Zrik Lashma. When both of them are done Lashma, the din is Kiddush Alechem, the Lechem is completely Kadosh, and you can go ahead, you have to eat it, and it's the Kedushas Guf, and you go ahead and eat the Lechem. Shachtan Shalal Lashman, Vizarak Daman Shalal Lashman. Let's say the Shechita and Zrika were done without Lashma, meaning they were puzzle, then lo Kiddush Alechem. Nothing happens. You didn't do anything properly there. But let's say Shachtan Lashman, Vizarak Shalal Lashman, you did the Shechita Lashma, that means one Matir was done correctly, but the other one wasn't, or vice versa. You did shachtan I lost the line for a second here. Shachtan l'shma v'zark daman shalol l'shma. Then lechem is kadosh v'ein. I skipped one more time. Back up. Hold on. Shachtan shalol l'shma v'zark daman shalol l'shma lo kiddush lechem. Shachtan l'shma v'zark daman shalol l'shma lechem kadosh v'einu kadosh divi rebi. When you do one matir, but now the other matir, it's kadosh. The lechem is kadosh as a guf, but you can't eat it because you didn't do the second matir. But there's kedusha, even though there's no heter. That's the sheet of Rebbe. So just like Rebbe says it by kivsi atzeres, he would say the same thing by the lachme toda as well. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Omer, li olam eino kadosh alechem ad sheyishchot l'shma v'yizrok daman l'shma. Rebbe Elazar argues and says, no, not true. That the kedusha's a guf doesn't apply to lachem until you've done both properly. You need a shechita l'shma and you need a zrika l'shma. So our brisa must be going according to Rebbe. Again, putting it just everything back in for a second. How do you have these two lechem todas? It's a situation where you shechta the carbon toda properly. So now the lechem toda is kadosh, it's kedusha's a guf. But then you spill the blood, you dropped everything, so there's no matir to allow you to eat it, but there's still kedusha. So they're really ksheros. We call them psulas because lemaisa, you can't bring the second matir to allow it. Those are two loaves of bread. Now, my question still stands, how often would this happen? This happened annually? This would take place? So maybe it did. I don't know. Let me just finish the Gemara right here, and then I'll ask you a question. The Gemara says, okay. So the truth is, this could even go like Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon. How so? Afilu tamer Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, hachav maskin. What's the case here? Even he would agree, that actually, in this case, that you would be allowed, this would be kedusha, the lechem would be kedusha, even though normally, Rebbe Elazar says you need both matirin, the shechita and zrika. This case would be sufficient. How so? Kigon shiniskabe hadam bekos v'nishvach. If you accepted, if you caught all the blood in the cup and then it spilled, even Rebbe Elazar would think that's considered zrika. Why is that considered zrika? Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Tzavrila ke'avua, like his father, who holds the amar ko ha'omer lizrok kizarok dam. Anything that had the potential, the theoretical possibility to do the zrika, that's as if it was the zrika was done. So here's, well, if you just shechted the animal and you never did a kabbalah, all the blood just spilled on the floor, so that's a case where Rebbe Elazar would say, there's only a shechita there, it's not kadosh. But if you did a shechita and a kabbalah, so it's ready for zrika, it's kizarok dam, that case Rebbe Elazar would say, that's the kedush is a guf. And then lemaisa, even though you spilled it, lemaisa, there's still kedusha in the lechem. Yeah, Yitzi.
So it seems this would happen more than once a year.